Open your Bibles once again with me to book of Hebrews chapter 11. As Brother Tim mentioned, in case you're a visitor, I'm not the pastor here. Appreciate the privilege of filling in and sharing the Word of God when Pastor Hamilton has, while he's away. So I appreciate his invitation to do so. You'll want to have your bulletin with you as well. You have an outline there with some blanks in it. Hopefully you'll be able to follow along, and that'll help us stay together as we examine the Word of God together today. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6 is our text. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever should draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. We all know what walking is. Even if you can't walk, you know what it is. And most of us walk, although some get to the point where they can't really walk that much. Walking begins at a certain point. It has a certain duration. It gets you to a certain place, and there's an ending point. You don't walk all your life. Isn't it interesting how many of these familiar pictures the Bible uses to teach spiritual truth? Have you ever thought about all the different activities that the Bible uses to illustrate spiritual things? Fishing. Some of you may have been able to fish this week. Sowing, reaping, shepherding, walking. I mean, just many, many of these common everyday things that we're familiar with, the Bible uses to teach spiritual truth. Now, if you're a believer here today, you know that the Bible tells us that we're to be walking by faith and not by sight. But what does that mean? My questions this morning are, what does that mean and how do I do it? And in an attempt to answer some of those questions, we're going to examine the walk of this man, Enoch, who were told walked with God, and God took him on to heaven. I remind you that in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, we're told that we have this great cloud of witnesses. And these are the folks of Hebrews chapter 11. These witnesses are witnesses to us, not of us. Make sure you have that straight. I mentioned this last time when I shared our ministry in the Philippines and so on, but Hebrews 11 gives us those who testify to us about this walk, this life, this Christian life, this walk with God. And Enoch is one of those who testifies to us of that walk. And so we want to take a look at his example, his testimony, and see what it means and how do we go about walking with God. Why is it important to know what it means to walk by faith and to walk with God? Well, I would remind you of what Paul says to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Finally, then, brethren, we urge you and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and please God. I trust that's the desire of all of us this morning, to walk in a way that pleases God, as Enoch did. By the way, in the text that was read this morning, I think you see a certain progression in this matter of faith. You see in Abel the sacrifice of faith. You see in Enoch the walk of faith. You see in Noah the work of faith, and you see in Abraham the obedience of faith. All of their lives were lives of faith. Enoch particularly testifies to us about walking by faith. What lessons can we learn from Enoch about this life of faith? Well, I would remind you that Hebrews 11 verses 5 and 6 are really a divine commentary on Genesis chapter 5, where we read about Enoch originally. We'll get back to that passage in a little bit. But what does our commentary tell us about Enoch? Well, I'm just going to summarize it now, and we'll come back to this later. But Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6 tell us that, first of all, Enoch was converted by grace through faith. You say, I don't see that in that text. We'll talk about that in a little bit, okay? How do we know that Enoch had a conversion experience? Secondly, we're told that God took Enoch to heaven without Enoch dying in verse 5. And we know that's not the experience of all who walk by faith. There will be a generation that experiences that when the rapture comes, but that was an unusual situation in the case of Enoch. Most of those who walk by faith did not get taken to heaven without death. So don't get your hopes up in that sense that somehow, oh, if I just really walk by faith, God's going to take me like he did Enoch. That's not what we're talking about here. Don't think that way. We learn also that while he lived here, Enoch pleased God, verse 5 says. Amazing statement. And, by the way, don't divide verse 6 from verse 5. Sometimes we kind of take verse 6 out there by itself, and I realize that it is kind of a general statement, but keep it in the context of Enoch, because it's really talking directly about Enoch. And we learn from verse 6 that Enoch pleased God by faith. We learn that God was real to Enoch. Verse 6 says he must believe that he exists. So Enoch, God was real to Enoch. It wasn't just some mythical figure that he believed in. We also find out that Enoch knew something about the grace of God, because he knew God as one who rewards. Well, that's the grace of God. We don't deserve any of God's rewards. That's the grace of God. And we find out he had to have a prayer life, because the verse says, to those who seek him. So there had to be a prayer life going on in Enoch's case. So that's the New Testament commentary. Let's look now back at the Old Testament. Go back to Genesis chapter 5, and let's pick up the story of Enoch back here in Genesis chapter 5. What do we learn from Enoch that will help us in what it means to walk by faith? Well, notice in Genesis chapter 5, starting in verse 18, we have the story of Enoch. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 18. Excuse me. We're told that Enoch walked with God and pleased God by faith. Now I trust that that is the desire of each of us. Not so you can go to heaven without dying, but simply to be pleasing to God. So number one lesson we learn on your outline sheet there is that to walk with God, we must start with a conversion experience. A conversion experience. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Now, how do I know that this includes a conversion experience? Well, some commentators would say that the text here actually hints at that. That the expression that he walked with God after he fathered Methuselah would indicate that his conversion experience was in connection with the birth of Methuselah. I'm not sure it's that conclusive myself, but that's what some commentators think. But if we just take the overall teaching of Scripture, none of us are born walking with God. Right? In fact, the psalmist tells us we go astray from the womb, don't we? We're born sinners. All of us, every one of us are born sinners. We're not born naturally walking with God. So there had to be a time in Enoch's life, whether it was at the birth of Methuselah or before that, it certainly was by that time, because from there on he was walking with God, but maybe it was before that. He was 65 years old when Methuselah was born. And so he, at some point, had come to that place where he had put his faith and trust in the coming Messiah. And we don't know exactly when that was, but we know it had to have happened, because none of us would naturally walk with God. So my first question this morning is, have you been converted? If you're going to walk with God, that's the first thing that's required. You must have that conversion experience. There must be a new birth in your life if you're going to walk with God. The second lesson is very closely tied to that first one. We could have made it a part of the first one, but we made it a second point. That is, to walk with God, we must have the same nature as God. The same nature as God. You see, the principle of Amos 3:3 applies in the case of Enoch. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't walk with God unless you have the same nature. And I'm not talking about being God now, but having that new nature that God puts in us when we trust Christ as our Savior. New Testament puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:7. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. We must have that new creation in us, that new nature, if we're going to walk with God. So, do you have that new nature? You say, well, I've tried to walk with God. I've made effort. I've made resolutions. I'm going to walk with God. It doesn't work, does it? Not unless you have a new nature, it doesn't. It'll never work. You'll never walk with God unless you have that new nature from God that makes it possible for you to walk in faith with God. All right, number three. To walk with God, we must be living a transformed life. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Pastor spoke about this last Sunday evening when he was in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You can't be walking in darkness and living in sin and living in rebellion against God and say, oh, well, I'm walking with God. Doesn't work that way. Let me ask you a question. Do you know who Enoch's contemporary was at the time he lived? I don't know if you've ever studied this and taken a look at that. From Cain's line, who was Enoch's contemporary? Well, I mention this because we need to understand, folks, and we need to be able to identify with somebody who was living in a society that was as corrupt and violent as ours is, and yet he walked with God. You see, Enoch was not living in a utopia. We know, for example, from Jude 14 that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. That means he was the seventh generation from Adam. Who was the seventh generation from Adam in the line of Cain? Well, if you read Genesis chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, you'll find out that the seventh in the line from Cain was a man by the name of Lamech. Lamech, L-A-M-E-C-H, right there in verses 17 and 18 of chapter 4 talks about him. And verses 19 through 22 continue with Lamech's wives and children, and then verse 23 returns to talk about Lamech and actually quotes him. So remembering that Lamech and his family are contemporary to the same time as Enoch and his family, let's take a look at Lamech as an example of the other part of society that Enoch was living in. So what do we know? What do we learn about Lamech and that society? Well, look at verse 19 of chapter 4 of Genesis. We find out that he is a rebel against God, because we're told in verse 19 that he took two wives. That immediately identifies him as a rebel against God. That was never God's intention. God's intention, God's purpose, God's decree in marriage was one man and one woman would come together in marriage and be united together for their lifetime. Lamech is a rebel against God. And remember this, folks, anybody at any level who seeks to change God's design for marriage is a rebel against God. Whenever you say there's some other arrangement that is acceptable, you've rebelled against God's teaching. I'm not saying that. I'm not here to, I'm just telling you what God says. One man and one woman coming together is God's design, and anything other than that is rebelling against God. And you can begin to see how our society mirrors the society that Enoch was living in, because it was going on then too. People were rebelling against God's design on marriage, even as they are today. Secondly, I would have you notice in verses 20 to 22 that Lamech's family had great material accomplishments about them. I mean, they accomplished a lot of things. They were apparently fairly well known and the accomplishments they had and so forth. But notice spiritually there is nothing mentioned. Not one word of trusting God, sacrifices to God, worshiping God, nothing. It's all about the material accomplishments of that family. Thirdly, I'd point out in verse 23 that of Genesis chapter 4 that Lamech is a serial murderer. He has murdered at least two people, he tells his wives. I don't know how many more than that he may have murdered, but he's murdered at least two, according to the language that's used there. Murder is nothing new, is it? We live in a society, and violence and murder and mayhem, as we have seen this week, seems to be prevalent. But folks, the point is, Enoch lived in this kind of society as well, and yet he walked with God, and he pleased God. Don't ever listen to the news and throw up your hands and say, oh, it's so terrible, how am I going to live for God in this kind of society? The believer can live for God in any kind of society, as Enoch illustrates for us here. Lamech was a serial murderer, and not only that, verse 23, he was proud of being a serial murderer. He bragged about it to his wives. He was bragging about what he had done, even as unfortunately many do today. But there's one further thing that was even worse about Lamech. Verse 24, he mocks God. He uses God's reference to Cain and the curse that God put on Cain, and he literally mocks what God says. Look, if God's going to punish anybody who touches Cain, I'm worthy of even more protection than that. I mean, he's just making, he's mocking God. Now, that, I would suggest to you, is a little picture of what society was like in the case of Enoch. Enoch lived in that society. And this is the attitude, and this is the society that eventually ends up some 600 to 700 years later in God having to judge the whole earth in the flood. Now, I want you to turn with me over to the book of Romans, because we have a passage of scripture that describes this time that Enoch lived. I don't know if you ever thought about the fact that Enoch lived during the time described in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 32. Now, if you're familiar with Romans chapter 1, you're aware that that is a almost an unbelievable description of the condition of mankind. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, and on it goes. We're not going to take time to read the whole section, but you read that section, and then you think, Enoch walked with God in that society. That society is more and more, it seems to me, a picture of our society. We're becoming more and more like that, it would appear. And yet, we have the promise of God. We can walk with him as well by faith, even as Enoch did. So we have this great contrast. Here we have Enoch in this society. Enoch walking with God by faith. God was real to him, as I mentioned. He understood something about the grace of God. He had a prayer life. He pleased God. Let me conclude it this way, this point. You have that conclusion under point number three. Enoch was living by the grace of God through faith in God, a life pleasing to God in a society that largely rejected God. Enoch was living by the grace of God through faith in God, a life pleasing to God in a society that largely rejected God. Now that's why I say you have to be living a transformed life if you're going to walk with God. Even in the midst of this kind of society, Enoch shows us it's possible to do so. We cannot use the excuse, conditions are too evil, things are too bad, the internet makes it impossible to walk with God. No, it doesn't. None of these things do. All through history, people have lived in societies much like ours. Maybe it's because of all the instant communication nowadays that people seem to get the idea, well, it's so much worse now, and we have it so much more difficult than anybody else has had. And that simply is not true, folks. God's grace, God's power is just as good today for the believer as it was in the day of Enoch. And we can walk with God by faith in the midst of turmoil and murder and mayhem and the wars, sharing the things going on there in Zimbabwe. It's a difficult situation, but God's grace is able to help us to walk with God. All right, number four on your outline: to walk with God means we continue to trust God. We continue to trust God. Genesis chapter 5 tells us that God walked with God, Enoch walked with God for at least 300 years, maybe more. He lives 365, and we know from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, that before God took him, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, being a believer means believing on Jesus Christ for salvation, but also believing on him for everyday life and continuing. In fact, I might say this to you. Once you've walked with God at least 300 years, then you could quit. How's that? Well, maybe I won't put it that way, because who knows? Maybe someday we'll live 300 years. I doubt that, but in the millennium we will, but that'll be a different story, of course. But remember, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we have salvation by grace through faith. But we have verse 10 also. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God wants us to continue to walk with him. But you say, so-and-so's disappointed me. I don't want anything to do with that God he says he represents. My parents are hypocrites. I don't want anything to do with the God that they say they serve. Just remember, folks, you have to be smaller than something if you're going to hide behind it. And if you're going to hide behind a hypocrite, that means you're smaller than they are. I'll put it this way. If we ever quit walking with God... I think you have this blank in your sheet there someplace. Maybe not. If we ever quit walking with God, it is too soon. God's called us to continue. 300 years, 365, whatever it is, we just continue on and on. Now, you can't always do everything you used to do. We get older, we can't, you know, do everything we did when we were younger, but we can continue to walk with God and please God by faith, even if physically we can't do what we used to. All right, number five. To walk with God means we practice our faith at home. At home. Genesis chapter 5, if you go back there, if you're not back there yet, let's go back. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 and 22 makes it clear to us that Enoch is a husband and a father, and not just of Methuselah. We're told that he had other sons and daughters. Well, that would put his number of children at least five, because we have plural sons, plural daughters, besides Methuselah. So we got a minimum of five. Why don't you think about this for a minute? You realize that the average lifespan at the time of Enoch was 912 years. Now, if, and I don't know I'm not being dogmatic about this, but if childbearing years were in proportion to what they are today, that means they could have still been having children when God took Enoch to heaven, 365 years old. Now, how many children did they have in that? Well, I don't know how many they had. I'm not going to tell you they had, 300 children. That's not the point. The point is, he had a family. He was not a monk living someplace in a monastery. He was not a hermit living in a cave someplace. He had a wife and children and parents and grandchildren. And guess what? He had to work. He had to have a job. I don't know what Enoch did. We know most of the line of Seth was involved in some kind of agricultural pursuits. Perhaps he was some kind of farmer. Whatever it was, the point is, he had to work hard and support his family. The point is this. Enoch was a man who had to practice his faith at work, at home, in the family. Wherever he was, he walked with God. He pleased God, not just in a tower someplace. He wasn't a pillar saint who sat up here on a pillar for 35 years like some folks did back in the Middle Ages and were considered holy. No, he was doing it in the midst of a wife and family and disciplining children and working and providing for a family and perhaps taking care of who knows what. If we're going to walk with God, we've got to practice our faith at home, folks. There's the hymn we didn't sing this morning, and I appreciate Ken giving me a few extra minutes message, but I would be like Jesus. The chorus of that hymn has tremendous words. Be like Jesus, this my song in the home and in the throng. Let me ask you a question. Where is it easier to walk with God and be like Jesus? Well, oftentimes it's easier in the throng because people don't know us so well there, do they? But at home they know us and they see all the warts and moles and everything in our life. That's where walking with God is especially important. Men, may I just challenge you? Enoch is a man, and so it's not a Father's Day message, but just a challenge to us men. Our walk must be consistent, whether it's at work or at home or wherever it is. And Enoch did that. Number 6, to walk with God means we must be surrendered to God. And that I am taking from being the opposite of Lamech. Lamech and his society was a society of arrogance, rebellion, proud, boasters, independent of God, no worship of God. Sounds like Paul's description of this age in 2 Timothy 3. When he says men will be proud and arrogant and abusive. By the way, that pretty well describes our society, doesn't it? You read 2 Timothy 3 and that's what's going on. These are the latter days. This age, this dispensation is the latter days, and that's exactly the kind of society we see that we're in. But Enoch walked just the opposite of that. Surrendered and going and doing whatever God wanted. One commentator put it this way. Let me read this little short paragraph. Enoch walked with God because he was his friend and liked his company, because he was going in the same direction as God and had no desires for anything but what lay in God's path. Let me ask you this morning, can you say, I have no desires but what lays in God's path? That must be our attitude if we're going to walk with God. I don't want anything but what God wants. I'm gonna go, and again, obviously this is a picture, it's a figure of our life. We don't physically, you know, God isn't physically, going to appear to us or anything. But if we're going to walk with him, it means I have no desires but what lays in his path. And that's what Enoch did. He surrendered to God. Micah 6 and verse 8 says, he has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. You can't walk with God arrogantly and boastfully and with that kind of pride. It has to be a humble, surrendered walk. Consider the New Testament pictures of walking with God. All of them have to do with a surrendered attitude. Romans 8:4, we do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You can't walk in your own fleshly desires and be walking with God. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. If you're going to walk with somebody by faith, you're surrendered to what they want and where they're going and what they're going to do, not your own way. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love. Ephesians 5:8, walk very carefully, not as fools. 1 John 2:6, walk in the same way he walked. All require a surrender to God. Are you surrendered? Walking surrendered to God. Number 7, to walk with God means we are proclaiming his message. We are proclaiming his message. I mentioned Jude 14 before, and Jude 14 and 15 tell us very interesting thing about Enoch. You're probably familiar with these verses. Let me read them. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all of the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That was Enoch preaching 700 years before the flood. Now, the point is, Enoch didn't live his life as a secret saint. You say, well, wouldn't it be better for believers, shouldn't we just kind of try to sneak out of here to heaven? I mean, after all, they're going to kill us if we speak up too much. Many parts of the world, that's very true today. Maybe here, too, at some point. Enoch proclaimed God's message. And his message, very interesting, by the way, his message was about the second coming of Christ, not the first coming, the second coming of Christ. A message of judgment, the message described the coming described in Revelation chapter 19. When Christ comes conquering and judging the world, that's another indication of the society of Enoch's time, because his message was a message of judgment on that society. And folks, may I just say, I know we proclaim the gospel of the love of God and Christ loving people, but there has to be an element of judgment in that also, in our message, that God is going to judge. God is the righteous judge, and he will judge. And Enoch proclaimed that message. Now, I don't know how Enoch received this revelation, if it was directly from God, if it was through his family, but somehow God had given him this revelation. You know, this preaching didn't make him popular with his society, and it won't make us popular either. Now, why is it important that we be proclaiming the message of God if we're going to walk with God? Let me have you turn to one last verse and I'll be done. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 is very important principles. Revelation 12 and verse 11. Revelation 12, verse 11. Very important principles in this verse that will help us in our walk with God. This verse speaks of saints in heaven and how they overcame the devil and his temptations while they were alive on earth. And notice what it says: they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they've loved not their lives unto the death. Three important things in overcoming Satan and walking faithfully with God in Revelation 12 and verse 11. Number one, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. There's their salvation. They were trusting the finished work of Christ for their salvation. Are you trusting the finished work of Christ for your salvation? If not, you can't possibly walk with God. Secondly, they overcame by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. And that word is the spoken word. They were speaking this word. They were publicly proclaiming their faith in Christ, as Enoch did. And thirdly, they were willing to die for Christ. Willing to die. Now, publicly proclaiming your faith, that's what we're talking about especially in this case. How is it that that helps us in our walk with God? What is it about proclaiming the gospel that's going to help you in your walk with God? Number one, it's going to scare off the wrong kind of friends. you're going to chase off some of those who would try to lead you astray and lead you away from your walk with God. Secondly, it helps you be aware of maintaining good testimony that backs up what you're saying as you witness for Christ. And thirdly, in doing so, you're exercising the spiritual armor of Ephesians chapter 6. Truth, righteousness, gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. And when you use that armor, you are able then to defeat Satan and walk with God. Enoch, his name means teacher. He teaches us these lessons about walking with God. Will we learn these lessons? I trust we will, and we will walk with God as Enoch did in his society. Let's bow together in closing prayer this morning. Just before we pray, let me just challenge you, encourage you. If you've never experienced conversion, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that's where you have to start. You have to come to that place of believing and trusting He is the only way of salvation. And that's where your walk must begin. He'll give you that new nature. He'll give you that power to live a transformed life and to continue walking with God. Let's be sure today that we are learning the lessons that we're taught here and putting into practice what Enoch taught us. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this example, for this one who testifies to us, witnesses to us about how to walk with God. And Lord, I pray that be the desire of each of our hearts, and that you would give us grace and power day by day to walk with you, yes, in the midst of a society that's filled with corruption and murder and all kinds of evil. Lord, you've told us you've not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And Lord, we need those things to walk with you in this society. Help us to be walking with you today, at home, tomorrow at work, wherever we would find ourselves, we'd have this testimony of walking with you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.